welcome to the Abbotloop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Romans chapter 5, verse 3, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His loves. And when we were utterly hopeless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. He died for us sinners. Listen, all of our troubles, all of our disappointments, all of those things, they lead us to this character strengthening and knowing of how awesome and how great our God is. And that no matter what we have, no matter where we come from or how dark your life might be, that we serve a God who saves, who delivers us from all of that stuff and takes that junk and redeems it and turns it toward our good. That's His promise to us. Amen, church? So listen, man, whatever you came in with today, listen, you got to know that you serve a God that wants to take that burden and take it and give you and cast on you something light, something easy. He wants you to walk out with something easy just by knowing your relationship with Him. When you and I were utterly helpless and lost, that's when He came to save us. Not when you and I had our lives together and it was all put together and looked pretty and nice and neat, right? It was when we were utterly lost He came to save us. To take your utterly lost life and bring it to Jesus. Amen? Because we serve an awesome God. How great He is, right? Let's pray and then we'll just get a chance to fellowship with one another. Father, we thank You for an opportunity to worship You and to lift up the awesome God, the Savior of our souls, the God who took us from the utter pit of absolute despair and hopelessness. And Jesus, You came and You saved us. And by faith, we declare You, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And we ask today that, God, You'll redeem our brokenness and our broken lives. And God, You will allow it to not lead us to despair and hopelessness and disappointment, but to life in You and strength of character and strength of our understanding of our salvation and security in You, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, church. It's great to see you. I just want to tell you, you look beautiful from here. Just fellowshipping. Yeah? How are we doing? Man, I'm giving you an early Merry Christmas shout out because we got a nice brand new snow, right? So Merry Christmas. Feels like winter, doesn't it? Yeah. Let's get excited about that. Yeah. All right. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. We're still in our series on Nehemiah. And while you do that, I'm going to read this passage to you in Proverbs 25. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Proverbs 25, 28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. So a city's walls, when they're broken down, they're defenseless and there's a disgrace to the city. And so a person without self-control is like a tool of chaos and destruction in the kingdom. So those of us, when we walk in a life without self-control, it's like a city that has no walls, like a city that has totally been disgraced and without honor and is ready to just be ravaged and taken over at any moment. So when we look back here in Nehemiah and we see the story, and if we could just recap in the last two messages that we had, we see Nehemiah have not only the desire to listen and to see and to consider the destruction that his city at Jerusalem
his home city or his nation's home city was in. He listened to that. He allowed it to come into his heart. And then he had the faith to take action and to do something about it. And many of us, you know, we will have the, you know, the desire or allow ourselves to see things or be exposed to things, but very few are the people that actually will do something about it. And we see Nehemiah as a man who comes in with great action, and he's ready with his faith, not only to just believe, but to do. And we just recapping here, just saying, you know, that faith, we know, and James says that it's that, you know, the desire and the ability and the action, right? Faith without works is dead. So believing without doing actually accomplishes nothing. And so we see Nehemiah not only find favor from the king through his life of prayer and submission to God. He finds favor with the king and he moves in action, ready to go. And then when he gets there, Pastor Mark Drake last week spoke about that when he shows up to Jerusalem and the whole city is laid in ruin and the gates are burned, and it's just as his brother had spoken to him earlier, and he decides before he goes and rallies the people and tells everybody what he's going to do, he decides he's going to go out and actually see what condition the city was really in. So he gets on his donkey and he goes and he rides around, and the rubble was so terrible and the refuse around the city was so terrible. There's many places he couldn't even ride through. He had to ride all the way around. So one of the really great applications that Mark made last week was that we need to be willing to face the brutal and honest truth in our life. This is a tough thing to do, right? That we need to be willing to not just look at others. And the Bible says, you know, we shouldn't actually look at others and be judging them, but we should look introspectively at ourselves. And if we took just an application that the city walls of Jerusalem represented your individual life. This is kind of how I set the whole series up. And if you could just do that with me and think about not as real walls, even though we know Nehemiah, he went and they built real walls in this city. But if we think about our new covenant life with Christ tabernacling inside of us, making his home in us, dwelling inside of us, and the old covenant being fulfilled through the life of Christ, and now we in the new covenant, the new commitment between God and his people, we get the Holy Spirit and the fullness of God and all that he promised and his full inheritance living in us. Right, church? Okay, so this is really important that we think about, okay, what is my kingdom life inside of me like now? And if I'm riding my little donkey around in my own heart and looking at my walls to see where there are gaps and broken down places and my gates might be burned, right? Places where there's gaps in my life where I can have disgrace and dishonor, and the enemy around me, which we see in Nehemiah, there's enemies right now. Right when he goes to Jerusalem, it takes no time and effort for him to already make some enemies. And we see Sanballat and Tobiah and some other Gershom dude or whatever. These guys just don't like the Jews. And so they're already probably people that were like, hey, this is the place where I just get to ride in and raid all these people and steal their stuff so I don't have to go to work every day. You know what I'm saying? This is easy plunder for me. And he's going to build all these walls back up and now defend Jerusalem. And this is kind of like my, you know, this is my cash cow. It's like moving in on the mob, you know, when there are little spaces that they build up their little spots and organized crime. And like, hey, don't move in on my space. This is my easy money. These guys were bad dudes, bad people. And when Nehemiah comes in, he's like, look, we're gonna protect the inner part of our nation. We're gonna protect ourselves with our walls. And if we can just think about this, that like the proverb says, that a person without walls, is like a person without self-control is like a city without walls. A person without really bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit and living in the fullness of God's kingdom inside of us and allowing that to really take root and be fruitful is like a city without walls. That when we allow sin to overrun us and create gaps in our life, then we become a disgrace. Now, just stay with me here, okay? And it is a dishonor, and that we get overrun. We have troubles in our life that the Bible says we don't have to live in. We experience troubles in our life that the Bible says you're not made for. Jesus didn't die for us to live that way. So let's jump here into Nehemiah and see what he says here in verse 17. He rides his donkey. Okay. It's a Mustang. He had a Mustang. But now I said to them, then he rallies the people together. All right. Everybody wished they had a Mustang back then too. Okay. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. When Hanani, his brother, came to him, he said, the people, in the first chapter, he says, the people are in trouble and they're in disgrace. Listen, there was no denying to everybody who lived there. They were messed up. They were upside down. They were in serious trouble because there were gaps in their walls and their gates were burned. He said, you know very well, because you've been living here, what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. And then I told them about the gracious hand that God had had on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. And so today, my message is all centered around, yes, let us see the gaps in our life, but let us rebuild the wall. Let's rebuild the wall in our lives individually and collectively. Individually and collectively. Look, there's places where we each have gaps, and we first have to look at our own gaps. And then there's gaps between us. Well, there's places where we've harmed one another or hurt one another or maybe burned each other's gates. Right? And God wants us to repair those things. Strong individuals make strong families. Healthy individuals make healthy families. Individuals that live and allow the kingdom of God. Romans 14 says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the promise, the inheritance that Romans 8 tells us we're destined to have as children of God. It says we're not, in Ephesians 5, it says that we're not called to be sons of the disobedient, but we're actually called, it says in Romans 8, that we're called to be sons of righteousness, sons of the King. Called to live in His kingdom, and His inheritance is ours because we're sons of the King because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did in our own righteousness. See, righteousness in the Bible talks about that it's imputed. This is kind of theology type stuff, but imputed righteousness is righteousness exists in Jesus and is completed in Him and then is moved into us in completion. And now is tabernacling or dwelling inside of you, Larry. It's in you, bro. It's like in you. It doesn't get formed in you. He came in you and you're righteous. It's imputed, not developed. It's done and imparted. That's imputed. It's in there. So for each one of us, we have to first know that in us dwells perfect righteousness. And God is not, in Romans again, says we're not bound to the sin nature anymore, but we're loose to live freedom in Christ according to righteousness. This is beautiful. This is powerful. We really need to get a strong understanding of what it is for us to live lives that honor God, that produce kingdom fruit of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we're going to pray. Whew. I'm already getting fired up. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you have truly laid a great work and foundation and imparted it, imputed it into each one of us, God. And it's alive inside of us. And it gives us the power, God, to live righteously and to experience the power of your kingdom right now, today. And so, God, we're asking that you will activate this in our life, that you will build in the gaps, God. You will take out the rubble and you will rebuild the walls of our lives individually and collectively as a whole church, God. And you will bring repair to our relationships. God, we thank you for your great love and your unstoppable grace, God, your unstoppable grace that is at work in empowering us to live according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to encourage you that you got to stay open with me and stay on this journey with me, and don't get caught where you used to think, and you think I'm going to say what you know that I'm supposed to say right now. Okay. I'm not going to stand here and I'm going to whip you and try to make you feel all terrible about yourself because you've made mistakes. Okay. Join the club. Right? Just join it. You got the badge. You got the sticker. You got the t-shirt, the boots, the hats, the gloves, the carry-on bag. Chicks, you got the purse. Men, you got the man bag. Okay? You got it. All right? And let's not look around and point a bunch of fingers at everybody and see where, well, we see that, oh, Sister Susie, well, she just doesn't measure up. And, you know, Elder Ed, you know, he just, oh, look at that guy. I mean, he's growing his beard super long. I mean, that's just ungodly. Accept other believers who are weak in the faith. That's what Romans 14 says. And it goes on to talk all about how everybody kind of has a different feeling of what we should and shouldn't do. And you need to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to jump all around today. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, it says this: carefully determine what pleases the Lord and take no part in worthless deeds of evil darkness. Instead, expose them. Carefully determine. This is like seek God prayerfully about what pleases Him. Look, if you want to really close the gaps and identify where the gaps are in your life, you need to seek God carefully about what pleases Him. And you need to look at the fruit of your life. Jesus said, by your fruits you will what? Know them. By the way our disciples love each other, that's how you will know that they're disciples of Jesus. So by our fruits, by our actual actions, that's how we get to see and measure, are there gaps and burn gates in our lives? Not by whether or not we take this giant list of do's and don'ts and just compare how many times we did or didn't do them. Look, all of us, if we do that, we're going to find out that we've failed tremendously. And that's why Jesus came, when we are utterly hopeless, to die for us. That's great. That's what the whole new covenant is built on. But you and I, we're designed to produce something. Romans 14 says that we're designed to produce kingdom life, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're looking for gaps in your life, look where you're not experiencing peace. Search for where you're not experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit. Where do you see that you're not in right standing according to what God has purposed for us to do? If you're not experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, you probably have got a gap. You probably have a burn gate. I think that it does serve us, purpose to read and to look and see, okay, what does God say, even in the New Testament, about what righteous living is? And the righteous living, it's so important that we stay here in Ephesians chapter 5. And he says, verse 15, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Duh. Hello? Duh. Right? How many alcoholics do you know are experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? That isn't where we just go beat them up over it. It says we need to help the weaker brother, accept them and help them where they're at, because they're struggling. They need help. We need help. We got to help cover each other's gaps and bear one another's burdens in love. This is where we draw together and we help each other. But the reality is that the Bible says that God won't be mocked in Galatians. A man will reap what he sows. You can't make fun of God in this way. Gravity exists. You can't change it. Spirit, you throw stuff up, it falls down. Spiritual laws exist. You can't change them. They are. God is. And he won't be mocked. You and I, we reap what we sow. We do stupid stuff, foolish stuff. We get stupid results and foolish results. We get caught up in addictive behavior. Then we reap the consequences of it. It destroys our life and people around us. It's hard. And that is the teacher. It doesn't separate us from God. Because Romans 8 says nothing can separate you from God. Stay with me. This is in the Bible. I didn't do it. This is what Jesus did for us. He made a way where there was no way. For you and for me. Utterly hopeless. The old covenant is gone. They tried it. You can't earn your way to heaven. Ephesians 2 says that it's by grace through faith that each one of us are saved, not by works. So it's through the work that Christ did and our faith in his work. You and I need to believe what he really did so we can partake of it. So one of the things that we see Nehemiah do, which is just a practical first step, is they get out and they remove all the rubble. Listen, there was so much rubble, they couldn't ride through it. There was so much trash in this one gate called the Dung Gate. I wonder what was there. You know, there's probably a little something nobody wanted to touch. Nobody wanted to walk by. Nobody wanted to smell or see. Look, there's stuff in our lives that we don't want to admit is there. We don't want to look at and see. But the first thing we have to do is go out there, get that junk, and move it out. The Bible says that we confess our sins one to another so we may be what? Healed. That's right, Pastor Dick. Healed. You want to experience healing in your life? You've got to learn to one another. Open your own heart up and share some of your gaps with those that can be trusted. Oh, you'll get burned. You'll get another gate burned. Okay? We need to be a church that's trustworthy, walks in confidentiality. We don't talk about other people's stuff. We don't pray for other people's stuff. We're just going to pray. Oh, well, they just seem to always come to me and talk to me. People just want to talk to me. That's because you listen. Stop it. You're participating in gossip and slander, even in some pretend act of godliness and prayer for them. Don't do it. You and I, we need to be above that stuff. We need to be above that stuff. Don't create another opportunity to burn another gate. If people are always coming to you, then change something so they don't. If they're coming to you because they have a hurt and a wound or they need help in their personal life, here's what I'm struggling with, not what this person did to me. Bible says if they are offended, they need to go to that person directly, not to you. Don't allow them to come to you or they think they can. Are you guys okay? Are we together today? We're doing all right. Am I being too hard? Okay, because I'm happy right now. Okay, I'm happy. This is so important, though. For us to stay together and be able to keep building together, we have to behave righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We have to get this. And like Nehemiah, we got to move this rubble out so there's space to work and work in the new things. Let's do Romans chapter 13. And there's such a beautiful, there's so many beautiful passages. I mean, we could just spend all day reading verse after verse after verse in Romans that touches on and hammers the point home of what we're talking about today. It starts from the beginning of the book to the end of the book and it goes on and on and on. But I'm just going to highlight a few and I'm going to give you a principle that I think we can actually cling on to. Is we see here that there is a putting on and a taking off, a clothing and an unclothing, or declothing or derobing, whatever you want to say, right? So Romans chapter 13, verse 12, part B. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. We belong to the day. That means we live where people can see us. You're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden because the kingdom of God is living inside of you, right? So where you go, he goes. You don't belong in the dark. If you live a night life, unless you're Sheila Ballastreri and you're on the news, you're in the day, you're showing yourself to everybody, right? She works all the way through the night. A night type life, like, I'm not saying you have to or don't have to do this. Not a bunch of rules, but I'm saying good stuff doesn't happen at nighttime. That's what it's talking about. You and I, when we're hiding in the secret in our little rooms or whatever, you know, we need to be in that place as if everybody was looking. Would you do what you're doing all by yourself if everybody was looking? That's what this is trying to say. Live like you're in the light because you are. Your deeds are being looked at. You're putting on this armor of right living everywhere you go all the time. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or in immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Don't let yourselves think. Don't let yourself think. I know your mamas and daddy said think. I'm saying don't. Don't. Don't allow yourself to think about things your selfish nature desires. Remember this. What you focus on expands. What you focus on grows. When I was a little kid, I used to throw a bunch of stuff into mud puddles because I lived in Nikiski and I had no toys or friends. True statement. My friends were invisible, but I'm not going to tell you about who they were. They were really nice to me. Okay. I used to go around in mud puddles, and then I'd like find my toys inside of mud puddles. You ever done this before? And you like go to get it, and when you go to get that thing, you really want it, and you like start scraping at it, but then what happens? The whole mud puddle just goes and turns into a mud puddle. When you're not touching it, it all settles down. You can't, it's clear. But when you go after it and to indulge yourself, right? If you just make that leap with me here and you start poking at it, then you start to stir it up and it creates more cloudiness and confusion and it starts to expand. You and I when we have a desire, which our flesh desires, there's this war, the Bible says it's clear, it's going on all the time. Jesus said, I made a way for you. You don't have to live to that. You can live righteous. So you and I, the key is as we start when it's in seed form, when it's just that little army man inside of the little mud puddle. Don't touch it. Don't look. Don't think. Stop. Think about something else. Think about what's righteous, what's pure, what's holy. That's what the Bible says to do. You got to deflect your thoughts into something righteous because look, in this day and age, A great preacher, great man of God, he preached this message, and I wish I would have thought of it before him, but he had one of those easy buttons, and he just hit it, and he goes, that was easy. You guys ever see those buttons? He hit the button, and he goes, that was easy. That's how easy it is to sin these days. That's how easy it is to look at stuff on the internet your eyes should never be looking at. That's how easy it is to indulge yourself in activities. We're mobile, right? We have cars. There's places all over the place we could go and hide out and do stuff we should never do. We can fly wherever we want where people don't know us. We can get on the internet in the privacy of our own homes and indulge in things that we know we should never be taking a part of that are burning our gates and the enemy, we're allowing him to get a foothold, which Ephesians 5 says again, don't let anger settle in on you because the enemy will get a foothold in your life. And that's in the context of a whole bunch of lists of all kinds of sin. That is us missing the mark with God. And these activities that will produce destruction and disappointment in our life rather than righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in your life. Because you can hit that button and it's just, that was easy. It's so easy. And we live in a day and age where because it's so easy, it's obvious that the dark and the light are spreading. It's creating a bigger and bigger chasm. Of when you live righteous and pure, it's so different from people that don't. I'm going to be real honest with you. I remember before I was a Christian, I was in high school, and one of my buddies, we grew up together, and we were both sick boys, like boys that don't know Jesus are, okay? And I started talking about something that was kind of perverted, right? And he looks at me and he goes, I don't even ever think about that stuff. I looked at him and I go, you're crazy. What are you talking about? All guys think about that kind of stuff. And he just looks at me and goes, I don't. I love Jesus. And I was just like, I mean, the chasm of my life. I mean, I never even opened a Bible in my life. And the chasm between the way he was talking about living and how I was living, he didn't like say, you're bad and all this kind of stuff. He said, I serve Jesus. I don't live like that. I don't allow myself to indulge in that kind of thinking. And it just rocked my world. And it took me, it just like a seed that just kept penetrating my heart. And then when I heard about who Jesus was, God spoke to me and he said, I'm real. This is what you've been looking for. And he just came in and he just rescued my life. And then it made sense to me. I don't have to live this way. I'm not bound to this way. I can live a different way. So first we have to look at and remove this rubble, but then we have to derobe it. We have to get it off of us. We have to get it out of our life. The things that dishonor and disgrace and disappoint and they create anxiety and fear and worry and bitterness and division and rage, hate and anger and brokenness, doubt, strips us of our power. It creates backbiting, malice, foolishness, drunkenness, sexual immorality. All these things just produce total death in our life. We need to disrobe and get rid of these things. And when we look at Romans chapter 14, verse 12, it says, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let us stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in a way that will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Your life matters. It matters to you and the destiny he made you for. He made you for something great. He didn't make you for immoral living. He made you and I for kingdom life, to change this world and to transform it from the inside of us out. It's beautiful. And he didn't make us for compromise. He didn't make us to see how close to something we can get and say, well, is it sin or is it not sin? Look, sin was cast on Jesus. Judgment was cast on Jesus. Punishment and disappointment was all cast on Jesus. He either took it all or he didn't. So for us as believers, those that receive the power and saving grace of Jesus, then we are not subject to that sin anymore. Now sin either produces death in our life or life. Right now, we're talking about whether we inherit the kingdom of God here, right now. Are you going to participate in the kingdom now? Are you going to participate in your destiny now? What do you want? See, Nehemiah goes to his people and he rallies them all and he goes, how do you want to live? What do you really want? How do you want to live? Do you want to live like this in the dung heap? Is that what God made you for? When you hear about the promises of God that you're blessed to be a nation that blesses other nations? Is it living in the dung heap? Is this what God, you believe God made you for? I don't think so. I don't think God made you and I to see how close to and to live in all of this debauchery and immorality. He didn't make us to live in that so we could just say, well, we're saved. We're saved by the mercy of God. And, you know, it's all on Jesus, so I'm free to do whatever I want. You can do whatever you want. You can live however you want, but you will reap the consequences for it. It will hurt people around you. It will damage your own kingdom fruitfulness. And it will dishonor God. It can. You can dishonor yourself and your God that you serve. Because people are looking. You live in the light. So this other piece that the Bible talks about is that we can actually clothe ourselves or put something on. And he says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus and don't let yourself look in at these other things. And we see in Ephesians 5 again, if I can find it again, here we go. Ephesians 5, we see this beautiful picture of how to rebuild something that God, kingdom life that God actually desires for you. We know it's centered in the grace of God and that connecting to the vine that John 15 talks about. Like, I connect to the vine and by doing that, I produce good fruit. In verse 20, it says, chapter 4, verse 20, sorry, that, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned about the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, derobe it, right? Get rid of it. Your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Start from the heart of who you are. Let the Spirit, in communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, allow him to start shaping your thoughts and changing your attitude, your want to. You got to change your want to by the power of the presence of God. Not guilting and shaming yourself. Well, I'm so bad, God hates me, and so I better do better. That's not going to get you anywhere. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. Okay? And I can't make it happen in you either. And you can't make it happen in your kids. They need the Holy Spirit to do a work that is not possible, which is righteous living. It's not possible by human effort. It's only possible through the Spirit of God, through the power of His presence. So we need to connect to the vine first. And we need to connect to the vine in our thoughts. God, renew my mind. Transform my attitude. You want to behave well? Man, have a great attitude. How are you going to have a great attitude when you're suffering and things are going bad and your life's all jacked up? How are you going to have a good attitude? You got to have a relationship with Jesus and know that when he says, in all things, I can rejoice. Because I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and God will turn it out for the good. And he's a faithful God who completes the works he starts. He doesn't let us go. When you know that kind of God, you know what, Lord, even though this situation, maybe I had some things that caused this problem. Those are my fault. I'm going to own that. And maybe this is just stuff that's happening around me. I know that you're good and you're going to cause these things to work together for my good because I'm serving you. And so I'm going to let you just work on my character and help me grow in this suffering because I know you're unstoppable. Your love is unstoppable. And in the midst of my grief, terror, anxiety, or failure, I'm going to glorify you and I'm going to rejoice in you. In the middle of my suffering, that develops a strength in your character that cannot, it's that peace that passes all understanding. And people look in and they go, this makes no sense. I'm going to tell you a story very quickly. And Scott, are you ready to come? About a friend of mine. And I'm going to close this. And we're just talking about this and read one more passage. A friend of mine, his son was born with a lot of deformities and defective things going on in his life. And him and his wife, they prayed over their kid. God didn't miraculously heal him, but he did like 20 surgeries to reconstruct his skull because it was all grown together and they had to do all this reconstruction and change. And it was terrible suffering. I'm telling you, these guys flew out and you can imagine your little baby from the time it was a little baby having surgery after surgery after surgery. Their son was like 6 years old. And they get into a place where they go down and they're going in. I mean, he's getting better. And this is one of a tale of final surgeries, but they were close to the finish line. And he gets this surgery and they decide that they always stayed with their kid every single night and made sure the breathing tube was good. And they left it in overnight. And these doctors said, no, he's fine. He's going to be fine. You guys go home. We're going to take the breathing tube out. It's going to be fine. They had done 20 some surgeries. And every time they made sure, because they had problems in the past, and they did it this way, and so they usually made all the doctors do it. They gave in this one time. They didn't stay. They did what the doctors recommended, and the doctors took the breathing tube out, and their son died in the night. Horrible tragedy. These guys are godly, awesome believers. Faith-filled, believe in the full gospel, prayed over the kid to get healed, and it didn't happen. In the midst of that, my friend, grieving. Obviously, this is the hospital's fault. Giant lawsuit if they wanted one. Millions of dollars sitting right there for him. He goes into the office. This is a real man of God. This is the way that we ought to behave as Christians. Walks into the office in front of the whole staff and they all come together. He made them come stand together. He said, look, I'm a Christian. I serve Jesus. I know that you guys failed miserably and my son is dead because of your mistake. But I want you to know that I forgive you. And I'm not going to file a lawsuit because I serve Jesus. And I want you to not walk away with any guilt because you guys were doing your best to do the best that you could do that you knew how. Now listen, that is new covenant life. That is overcoming the junk in our life, the opportunity for sin in the middle of suffering. That is having your gaps filled in. When your gaps are filled in and your gates aren't burned down and you've been centered on this relationship with Jesus and you allow your life and your character to be built up in the midst of terrible suffering. Listen, I know that a lot of us have stories that maybe rival that story. But this is one of the worst tragedies that is the closest to me. Because him and I are very close friends. And how he could stay centered on Jesus in the midst of that and allow that to grow him. He has grown immensely in the Lord, him and his wife, since that time. And the testimony of Christ was pushed out among all those doctors. Who knows how many people got saved because of that? Who knows how many people will get saved because of that one act of righteousness? So stop telling lies. Those who formerly, their former way of life, which was corrupted in lust and deception, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on a new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Listen, if you struggle with lying, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. If you got gaps, get the rubble out. Stop lying and start telling the truth. Start actually trying to rebuild your wall and do the opposite thing. You with me? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing, and instead use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. So if you're a thief, and that's a gap in your life, then stop stealing. Say, God, help me stop stealing. Connect to the vine, and then start giving. Do the opposite. If you want to destroy that type of behavior, you need to activate and build a new wall. You need to build a new wall. If you're struggling in your thought life and a lust life, you need to build a new wall. You need to focus your life into a new thought pattern and create new thoughts. I'm not saying this is the solution to all of everybody's problems. We have hurts and wounds and brokenness and burned down gates where we need help from counselors and gifted people to take us in there and heal those hurts and work through that stuff. You need to do that too. I do that. A lot of people are like, Pastor, you go to counseling? Heck yeah. I pastor a church. I need counseling. And you know, a lot of times, listen, I'm a very vulnerable, open, and honest person. But I'm a person who's willing to look at the gaps in my life. And so I'm going to say this because I can. Because I've proven this in my life for years. 15 years easy. I've been doing this steady. When I'm looking for gaps, I'm asking for others to help me see my gaps, and then I'm trying to get the rubble out and rebuild new walls. I've been doing this consistently. And I believe, listen, that you and I, we need help from one another. We can't do it alone. I've tried to struggle and work through issues in my life that I could not do alone, and then I go either to pastors, go to ministers, friends. Sometimes it's been disciples that I've made. They've helped me. And sometimes it's through professional counseling. Because listen, God gives grace, power to the proud. No, the humble. If you've seen me be vulnerable and you're like, oh man, pastor's all messed up. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. And he knows it. And that's really better. And if you go, well, I mean, pastor's messed up, but I'm doing really good. What's wrong with him? You're in trouble. You haven't been out on your donkey and looked at the dung gate yet. I'm sorry. I know you too well. I've been doing this for way too long now. I get it. And it's okay. You messed up. And that's okay. That's okay because you serve a God of when you're utterly hopeless and helpless. You serve a God who met you right there. Grabbed a hold of your heart, and he had already made a way, and he made himself known to you, and he'd already made a way for you to have your wall rebuilt. Not so that you could, he took judgment on himself so that you didn't have to have it. He took punishment on himself so you didn't have to have it. Come on now. He took the wrath and the anger of God and disappointment on himself so you didn't have to experience it. And he came to you and he comes to you right now and he says, look, I love you and I love your heart and I love the way that I made you. And I have something for you that's much better than driving around and getting drunk and going to wild parties and living sexually immoral and lying and stealing and cheating others and living in lust. I have something much better for you. I died for something much better than you, than that for you. I died so that you can have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit living in your life, and you can do great and mighty works for me. You can live different. You can change the world around you. You're a city on a hill that can't be hidden. You're designed to clothe yourself in the light and the armor of God's righteousness. Man, come on. There's a better way to live, church. And all this stuff about, okay, we're free in Christ. And, you know, they used to call it the slippery slope of grace. Okay, it's not a slippery slope of grace. It's not what it is. There is unrighteous living that produces death. And there's righteous living empowered by grace that produces life. You choose, and I'm just rallying you like Nehemiah did right now. Look at your wall. Look at the rubble. Look at your life. Look at our church. How are you? Have you gone from church to church to church when there was something hard that happened in our church, like it collapsed, or we had trouble with, you know, staff, or we had problems in our church and things aren't working out? Where do you go? Well, it just didn't work out. God birthed me in that church, and, you know, God called me to that church, and then I just decided it just wasn't going good enough. So I moved on. Really? Did you carefully consider what God wanted you to do? Maybe God wants you to stay and help rebuild the gates, rebuild the walls, repair the walls. Right? I talked to a couple brothers the other day, and they go to another church in town. And they go to a church that's had a lot of struggle throughout the last 20 years. And they stayed through it all. And they keep serving Jesus and trying to build the kingdom. And I was like, you guys are awesome. You're the kind of church members that every church needs. You just stick through it all. Ups and downs and everything, because they felt called to. You and I need to discover, what are we called to in our individual kingdom life? And where are we called to as a church body to fellowship and build? All right? Now, don't go away feeling all guilty and whatever. Just seek the Lord. Say, God, change my heart. I want to know what your will is for me. How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to live? And do you want me knit in? Where do you want me knit in to your body and to the kingdom to build and help rebuild? Like, don't cause another stumbling block for someone else. Like Romans said, we're walking along and I just go, just drop something in front of your feet when you're not looking. Just create a stumbling block for somebody else. Don't make more gaps in the wall. Don't put more dung in the dung gate. Right? You're living with other people. They're all around you. We're all here together. And we need to be repairing the wall together. We're going to talk about that next week. But repairing the wall together. First, you get healthy. Help others get healthy. Help fill in the gaps. Help work and serve together so we can see kingdom of God alive and flowing through each one of us. Righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. Will you stand? Father, we thank you so much for your love. God, we thank you for your righteousness, your peace, and your joy that's alive in us. God, and we just ask right now that Holy Spirit, you'll come and minister to our hearts. Lord, you just come and just tug on our hearts and help us see the gaps in our own lives where we have created gaps, God. We've burned our own gates and we've allowed the enemy to get a foothold in our life. I pray that you just help us to see that. Church, if you could just seek the Lord right now, just ask Him personally. This is, you get personal with your relationship with Jesus. We're going to take a minute. We've got lots of time. I'm not saying we're going to take lots of time, but we have plenty of time. Just ask Jesus, will you just show me my burned gates? Will you show me the gaps in my walls? Will you show me the bitterness in my heart where I've been hurt and I haven't been able to give it up? I've just been hurt. It's just time to give that up. Lord Jesus, I give up my hurt to you, my bitterness to you. I run to you. Jesus, I ask you to just heal my heart. transform my life. I give up my jealousy and my envy. Lord, I help pray that you would help me to see, why do I keep getting jealous? What is causing that? Where is the gap that's causing that jealousy to be stirred? God, I just ask that you would just show me that. He's good, God. He'll reveal it to you. God, show it to me. Ask him. I seek you for that. And God, just drive that jealousy far from me and help me to be, just give. And to give up. Just feel that maybe there's people here like you're struggling with narcissism. This is a destructive thing. And this is how you know if you struggle with narcissism. You don't know you struggle with narcissism. So if you don't think you struggle with narcissism, okay, now think about yourself as a candidate, all right? And I want you to think about, what do you hear yourself say? Do you only hear your story everywhere you go? Do you only hear what you have to say all the time? Is life always revolving around you? Your story, your hurt, your brokenness, your problem. Your this, your that, your world. If you're not sitting and only listening and hearing other people's words, right? And you're all the time just hearing your words, you probably suffer with narcissism. And I think God wants to break our church. You cannot be a productive kingdom fruit building and fruit bearing member of the body of Christ if you struggle and you're trapped in narcissism. God wants to set you free. So if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your heart. Don't raise your hand. Lift your heart. Okay. You don't got to tell everybody in here. And just lift your heart up to the Lord and say, God, I see that's me. I see that. That's my gate. That's my burn gate. That's a gap in my wall. Lord Jesus, I'm just repenting for vain conceit and this life being all about me and not about others. And God, I pray you just remove that rubble from my life. You transform me. And God, that you would just make my life about other people. And I pray right now that you will just help me, God, as you say, liars need to stop lying and thieves need to stop stealing and people that are walking in narcissism, I need to stop talking about me. And so God, I'm praying that you will just loose this body and everybody struggling with this problem, that they will just begin to talk and only listen about others and not talk at all, but listen about others and do the opposite. God, I'm praying for a listening ear to be birthed in the hearts and lives of each member of this body, that we'll be great listeners and hearers of other people's stories and be able to just encourage them and support them and not fix them, but love them while Holy Spirit, you fix them and you heal them and you transform them. God, let our lives be more about others than ourselves. God, we love you. We pray that you just continue to pour out your grace and your healing power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, church, you're wonderful. We can go to the closing lights there if you can. You can bring the lights up. I love you today. There you are. I can see you. Hello. Your life is that simple with God. If you want to give your heart to Jesus and you have never done that, I'm going to ask you to meet me here in the front or find somebody that brought you and